Good morning. Today, I'd like to continue on the topic of faith. Faith has been a theme spoken on December 26th. And I want to thank Brother Dubler for doing a part two and encouraging me to do a part three. So today I'd like to speak on faith in terms of or keeping the faith. Very important that we pay attention to what we believe. And Paul encourages, along with all the writers of the scriptures, that it is important that we stay with the faith. No wavering, no moving around, no doubting, that we stand firm in faith. So I'd like to start by reading Hebrews 10:23. Well, let's go from verse 19 to 25 to get a context. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Paul seemed to be, or the writer of Hebrew, most of us think it's Paul. He's writing for today. He says, so much the more as he sees the day approaching. And there is no doubt with all that is happening around us that that day, as Brother Horain emphasized last week, it will come. And it's fast approaching. What we need to stand up in this time, and as Brother Godfrey, so beautifully put it, we have to be light. We cannot be in the closet. We have to shine. We have to be out there. And that's what faith does. Give us the boldness to stand for what we believe and to stand up for God. So Paul, in addressing the brethren here, reminded them of what the Lord has done. Having therefore, brethren, first, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You know, when we think of the fact that we have access to the throne of grace, no one can hinder us. No isolation can stop us. Individually, we can reach the throne of grace by just talking to God on our knees, or however we want to make that connection, and we can with boldness enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Jesus has consecrated a new and living way. Paul says that is to say his flesh. Yes, through the death of Jesus Christ, we have access to God, and Jesus himself being the great high priest. So in comparing the New Testament to the Old Testament, the tabernacle system, we can realize how important this is, because the high priest was the only one allowed once per year to enter into the holiest of all. Today we have access. And this is a great privilege that we have to go to God. And we can do so with boldness. The high priest in the under the old covenant would have to be perfectly prepared for that entrance with all the washings. And it was such a holy ceremony, changing his garments, because he was appearing before what represented the presence of God at the time, the Ark of God, to do the whole process of interceding, getting rid of sin on that holy day of atonement. So Paul is drawing on that experience and telling the brethren, now let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So we must have a true heart. Insincerity will not stand pressure. Insincerity will not stand a test, which we're going to talk about later. We must come with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So we talk about faith. And now we want to put faith into practice. We want to come to God. We want to draw near. We want to come to his throne. We want to get deep in his will with that full assurance of faith. And we're going to look at more as to what this full assurance is. Make sure, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So the setting here, that the mindset seemed to be that Paul is addressing brethren, brothers and sisters who have gone through the process of repentance and are converted. Their hearts have been sprinkled from that evil conscience. And as Peter points out in 1 Peter 3:21, he said that the washing is not about the putting away of the filth of the flesh. All right? The verse 21 says, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when Paul addressed the brethren, and that they should come to God with this clean conscience and their body washing in pure water, yes, he's talking about the laying the foundations of repentance and baptism. Having laid that foundation, he wants us to, in verse 23, which you want to emphasize, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us hold fast, keep it, hold it fast, the profession or the confession of our faith without wavering. So we want to ask the question today, what is the confession of our faith? So faith is strong belief. We must believe something. We must have strong convictions about something in order to hold fast to it. What are these strong convictions? What is the profession? What is the confession of our faith? Something that we can hold fast without wavering. Why? Because the promise itself is faithful. But it's important that we understand on the onset here that when we speak of strong faith, we're speaking of a faith that is fixed. To understand this, let's read James 1. If any of you, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So here, you're coming to God with something. But here, listen to James' instruction here. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Paul also instructs in Romans 14:23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Importantly, the last clause here, for whatever is not of faith is sin. Well, so we're called upon to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. God will not tolerate doubtfulness and wavering when it comes to his faithful promise. We must believe and believe without a shadow of doubt. How do we arrive at this strong belief? It is the word of God, brethren, that gives examples and examples as to many who trusted in the Lord, many who have proven the fact that God lives and he does what he promises. He never failed Moses, he never failed David or any, whatever promise he gives, he fulfills. Depends on the conditions, of course. So, coming to this point where we have strong convictions, let us look back at the very definition of the word faith that we are contemplated. Now, we know from Hebrews 6, that it is the evidence of the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word used here in Hebrews 10, same word faith. The Greek form of it is called peplos. What I found interesting about the use of this word is that 54 times this word was translated as hope and one time as faith. So when we speak of faith, it is mixed with a whole lot of hope. So when we are holding on to the faith, we are holding on to something that is filled with hope. Hence, the Strong's definition, and in terms of the word used in the scriptures, would define this faith as joyful and confident expectation of eternal life. Joyful and confident expectation of eternal life. So if we read that into the text, what Paul is saying, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, that is, we believe without doubting, and our hearts sprinkled from all evil conscience, and let our bodies be washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our and the word joyful and confident expectation of eternal life. We're going to hold fast to that. Brethren, we live in a world, especially in the Western society, where Christianity has grown tremendously in the past couple of centuries. We have had a society for a while where the Christian religion dominated. I'm afraid the dominance of Christianity in the West has been eroded and is still eroding. And clearly, if we are following the news, you will realize that pressure will be coming on to even further erode the faith. As Brother Godfrey says, they don't want to put us in a closet. That is why it is important for us to hold fast our faith. And I like the word joyful. The fact is that we are holding on to something that gives us joy. And there's a confident expectation of eternal salvation. No one can take away those things from us. This is a decision you make for yourself. You choose to have faith. You choose to be joyful and have this confident expectation of eternal life. Nothing can take that away. You hold on to that without doubting. What we experience and what we have been experienced in the Western world of Christianity is a slate, a whole myriad of doctrinal differences and denominations. And I would like to ask the question, how does one find true faith amidst all of what is going on in Christianity? But I think we all know the answer. Now, the answer is true faith can only be found in the Bible, God's holy words. And as long as what we believe is rooted and founded in scriptures, we can be confident in that. If our belief system is dependent on a prophet or a prophetess, especially the modern ones who have been making so many misprophecies, we can be in serious trouble. And I'm going to point out a number of scriptures to show that people who have their faith misplaced will be in serious problems. So what God wants us to do is to test our faith. Now, let us turn to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. And listen to what the apostle says here. He says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? It's from the New American Standard Version. So test yourselves. Examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Now, we can be in the fellowship, brethren, but not in the faith. If we show up to meetings, and we share all the wonderful fellowship that the Lord has would have us share. No doubt you're in a fellowship. But if your faith, if your personal belief system is not in line with the Bible, your faith may be making you vulnerable to the great hope of eternal life. You may not make it, because not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom. Let us read that. Matthew 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." This is very sobering and quite relevant as we examine whether we are in the faith. If we are not listening to the right voice, if we're not in tune with the proper source, our worship can be in vain. Jesus says here that many will say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? In thy name done wonderful works?" Yet he will say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." That's a sad reality that some will be facing in the future. And that is why we need to ensure that what we believe, our faith, is firm, steadfast, and true. Matthew 15, verse 1. "Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of our elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But Jesus answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother. He that curseth father or mother, let him die to death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions, ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." My brethren, but I heard and said last week that God is not coming for an organization, so let us not think that we can shelter ourselves under any banner when it comes to the true faith. Individuals, all those who God gives the Holy Spirit belongs to Him. And every single one must abide by the truth, the written word. Because clearly, many will end up spending their time serving, prophesying, doing all the great works in vain. If we are depth well anchored into the word of God, our worship will be accepted. Paul also warned the Galatians when they're straying away from the truth. He said in Galatians 5:7, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" First, before we go out, if we do have the opportunity, brethren, to get back out there and to evangelize and to let people know the truth the way the church has been operating for the past many years, what we want to do during this period of isolation is to do our homework, our self-examinations, our searching of ourselves to ensure that our faith is true, that what we believe is in line with the scriptures. In that way, we can have that joyful and confident expectation of salvation, our true faith. So not everyone will enter the kingdom. Some worship will be in vain. But there are some who definitely will be saved. And I want to ensure that we are in the right company. So let us assure ourselves so that we can be confident here. Because God would have us to have our feet shadow the preparation of the gospel to let the truth be known. Revelation 14:9-13. "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Yes, there will be some who will be worshiping, but not the eternal God. They'll be worshiping the beast and its image. We have to be careful. "And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have not rest their night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." We are very watchful as time unfolds. And at some point, we expect that the system will be clear to each and every one of us, that if we don't take a particular mark, we will not be able to buy our soul. We are seeing signs that this is coming. We're seeing there are many signs all around right now that it may be imminent. Be careful. We have to be careful what we believe, what our faith is. Doesn't make sense believing a lie. And there are many people who are believing lies as if it is truth from God's words. Paul says, we must examine ourselves whether or not we're in the faith. But here's the contrast that John gives. He identified those who are actually in the faith. So he's saying here are the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Simply, very simple. Those who are in the faith, those who possess the true faith, are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. What's the reward for those? Verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Yes, these are the ones in the true faith, keeping the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Brethren and friends, it's not difficult to understand what John or who John is talking about. Now, when he refers to the commandments of God, those who oppose the Sabbath, especially, will want to say it's not referring to the Ten Commandments. And some would say, oh, yes, it's referring to the Ten Commandments, but the Sabbath is not Saturday. This is one thing that I hope all of us are very confident in, that the true Sabbath is Saturday. No doubt about that. No ifs or buts. The true Sabbath is Saturday, as much as we know it, because there is a clear historical line, a thread that can be followed as to how the first day of the week became the Christian Sabbath. It's not from the Bible. There are ample evidence to show that it was concocted by the Roman Christian movement. Jesus answered the question when the rich young ruler asked him about eternal life. He wanted to know what to do to have eternal life. And the same answer Jesus gives is what we will be given to those who want to know what the commandments are. So Matthew 19:17, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, just as John saw the patience of the saints, keep the commandments. He said to him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt not do murder. Thou shalt not do adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Which commandment was Jesus referring the young ruler to? The Ten Commandments, the Decalogue given from beginning when God made his covenant with his people. It continues to be the main parameter that guides our morality. And anyone who breaks even one of these commandments, break the whole law, and sin is the transgression of the law. So we will remain confident that to enter the kingdom of God, we must keep all 10 of God's commandments. Now, to support that, let's look at Mark 10:19. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. That's the word of the master himself, telling everyone what the commandments are. 1 John 2:4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Brethren, as we examine our faith, we can sigh relief that we are among those who are keeping the commandments of God. Praise be to God for revealing this truth to us. We're confident and we will share the truth as God gives us opportunity. Now, the other term that John used to describe those who are saved is the faith of Jesus. So they keep the commandments of God and also possess the faith of Jesus. Those are the ones who overcame and had salvation granted. So this word, faith, here, pistis, it also means conviction of the truth of anything. Belief. In the New Testament, of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the included idea of trust and holy favor born of faith and joined with it. That's the biblical usage of the word. So those who John saw that it overcame, they were keeping the commandments of God and they had conviction of truth. So if it's the faith of Jesus, then what we believe must be what is truth according to Jesus, or what Jesus himself teaches and expects us to believe. The faith of Jesus must be strong convictions about the principles of the gospel and the ways of the Christian life as taught in scriptures. So if I have the faith of Jesus Christ, I'll be walking as Jesus expects me to walk. He said that we should go, his disciples should go into all the world and teach the gospel to every creature. Make disciples. The word of God is important, and all the teachings that he gave, the attitudes and everything, is a part of the faith. When he speaks of the two great commandments, love to God and love to man, part of the faith. When he spoke about who the Father is, that my Father is greater than I, is a part of the faith. We have to filter. We have to ensure that of all the things that we hear, we must use the word of God as that filter, and anything that does not go through the filter of the word of God should be thrown out. There are sometimes we're tempted to accept a belief because it sounds good. And we want to say that it's true, and that's a part of the faith of Jesus Christ. Sometimes there's a little doubt, but we blind our eyes to the doubt and hold on to a false belief. True faith, brethren, is not blind. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. True faith has to do with a thorough understanding, as much as we can gather information on whatever subject we're looking in. We must gather the information, have a good understanding of the subject, and arrive at a conclusion that the word of God speaks, not injecting our own ideas, thoughts, or belief system into the Bible, but getting out of the Bible the truth. Paul and commended the Bereans because they searched the scriptures to see whether or not what Paul was telling them were so. They used the filter and they were commended. All of us need to use that filter constantly and hold on only to that which the Bible approves. That's how we'll arrive at a true faith of Jesus. As it stands today, there are many who are holding on to some powerful convictions about the Bible, and they're not Sabbath keepers. But you can't tell them that Jesus Christ is not the Messiah, because they believe and they're strong in their faith. When we see that happening, we need to recognize that God is working with individuals in various places, various churches, various bodies, even in the apostate church identified in the Bible. The Bible, that John would have us to understand that God wants to call his true people out of apostasy. That is why it is said there, come out of her, my people. Brethren, we all must have the skill to use the filter. Call people out of false belief systems and help them to have the true faith of Jesus Christ, which will grant them eternal life, that their worship be not in vain. How do we know whether a teaching is true or false? If we believe something for many, many years, and do we really take the time to revisit our belief systems and to question whether or not it is true or not? As we come together in the fellowship of the church, we come from different backgrounds, and we have heard many teachings. Some of them we hold on to, even if it's not a part of this particular belief system that we have in the Church of God International. I'm just suggesting that whether you've been a long time member of God's church, or whether you're coming from another body, that we all put on the table our belief systems. Individually, between you and God, take the Bible as a filter and ensure that what comes out is the true faith of Jesus Christ. Pretense, insincerity will not cut it, my friend. We must be true to God and true to his word in order to have salvation, the true hope of salvation. So strong faith will end up having a confidence in what we believe, that it is indeed the word of God. And that is what will propel us to live, or as was in the special music today, hold on to that word. Because the devil is around the body, he may kill, but God's truth abideth still, and his kingdom is forever. Now, there are some common beliefs that we share in the Church of God, and I'll just take a few minutes to go through a few of them, because when we talk of the faith of Jesus Christ, I look to the body of beliefs. And I love to study the scriptures sometimes independently of the church doctrines, because when I do that, I know I'm not being influenced necessarily by a particular individual who I may like, but I am allowing the Holy Spirit to be my teacher and to come with truth. And what constantly amazed me about the teachings of this church is that, you know, when I do my own studies and research and compare it with what is written in the doctrinal belief system, I said, oh yes, thank God that there are men and women who are standing up for the Bible and the Bible alone as rule of faith. If you have your doctrinal belief systems or booklet, or if you go to the cgi.org, and on the mission and belief, there are 37 statements of belief listed, which is our common faith. That's what makes us a body. That's what makes us a fellowship, the common belief system. This belief system is to be looked at as the best effort of men to filter teachings through the Word of God, and it comes out as it is. The church is strong. The body of Christ is powerful if we're all on the same page with these stated convictions of truth. Now, if there's anything in the belief system that we're not comfortable with, there's a process which is welcomed, that you bring it to the ministerial council if necessary and have it sorted out. Because at the end, brethren, we all need to be assured that what we believe is that which will grant us eternal life. And the more we investigate, the more we delve into things, the stronger our faith. Because when you really study the Word of God to the depths, if you get into the original words, if you get into the historical setting, if you understand the proper literary context, when you study the word properly and you get the meaning out, your joy and assurance of eternal salvation is only got a lot better. So the Church of God International have statements such as, God, the Almighty, is the eternal, all-powerful, supreme creator and sustainer of the entire universe. God is one, composed of spirit and comprising a family, presently consisting of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. God is a loving, kind, merciful being who wants to share his magnificent existence by reproducing himself through man. That's one common belief system that we do have. And what a great hope that the eternal, the all-powerful, the supreme creator wants us to be like him. Another common belief we have is that the whole Bible is the divinely inspired word of God, containing his plan of salvation and the record of his participation in history. The Bible is God's revelation of knowledge that man cannot discover for himself. That's just a part of the whole caption. But yes, it is written in the documents of the church that we believe the whole Bible as the inspired word of God. I love the Bible, as you all do. And we should not spare any moment in delving into the depths of its teachings, because that's where we get the faith, the confident assurance of our salvation. Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man. He was the prophesied Messiah of the Old Testament and is described in the New Testament as being fully human and fully divine. As a second member of the God family, he has existed throughout eternity as the Word, Jesus Christ, the only way to salvation. My brethren, our faith will be challenged going forward regarding who Jesus is. We know that not long ago, the name Jesus was accepted culturally in prayers at the highest level of society. As the world changes, and the tolerance and the whole future of a different outlook, new world order, there is the removal of the name of Jesus in the many high places, wanting to create a world that is far more tolerant of all religions and of all faiths. And therefore, in that effort, the name Yeshua should not be exalted above any other. That's what society is demanding. Will we be put in that closet? Will we allow ourselves to be silenced when it comes to identifying who the true Savior of the world is? We'll continue to believe without wavering, without a shadow of doubt, that there's only one way to salvation, that there's only one name given by which men shall be saved. We will continue strong in faith going forward. Filter the Holy Spirit. There are so many ideas as to who, what the Holy Spirit is. But we do believe, according to our written statements here, that the Holy Spirit is the essence, power, mind, and the spiritual extension and presence of God. God begets Christians as his sons and daughters through his Spirit. It strengthens the Christians spiritually, converts his mind, and serves as an earnest or guarantee of eternal life. Praise the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. We will believe just what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit, not an emotional experience that one receives when they get into a fellowship, but a constant abiding presence of God with the true believer, leading that believer into all truth. It is the presence, power, mind, and spiritual extension and presence of God. We will hold on to that. Our faith concludes that humans are physical beings with no inherent immortality, but they can receive eternal life as a free gift from God. It's important that we make this statement because through the history of philosophy and the intertwining of Greek philosophies with Christianity, the Hellenization of the world and of the faith, there are many Christians today who do believe in an immortal soul, that man has something in him that is eternal, that cannot be killed. The body may die, but the spirit goes to some place. We don't believe that. The Bible teaches that when a man dies, he is dead. He cannot think, he cannot act, he cannot talk. There's no reference in the Bible of a part of man that is immortal. So when we hear about people, when you go to a funeral and they are saying that the individual is over watching right now, that is so popular, that is so common. But that individual is dead, and there's no immortality in man. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death, which is a cessation of life. We need to apply the filter, brethren, and help others to apply the filter. We cannot believe in an eternal life in hell because immortality was not given to humans. We also believe that God has created powerful spirit beings as his agents and messengers. That's the angelic realm. We do believe angels visited Abraham quite a few times, and many other angels were always active, carrying out God's work. We do believe, and we believe that they are today our guardians. They do serve the purposes of God. They are God's agents and messengers. Salvation is the means by which God, through Christ, saves man from the penalty of sin and gives him eternal life. Yes, we do believe in salvation as the only means, and through Jesus Christ. That will put us in a very peculiar position going forward, brethren, because the world is presently under a re-education campaign coming from the papacy, from his latest encyclical. Many countries are buying into it. Many religions have signed up for it. And the truth is that the salvation through Jesus Christ alone, when we make that public confession, it may offend some. We have to be strong in the faith to be able to stand up for this faith. Now, faith itself, we do have a statement, and that faith is the sure knowledge that God exists and that he will accomplish those things he has promised. Faith is necessary for salvation. The basic elements of faith are courage, action, and risk. Let's bear those in mind. We believe that repentance is the act of acknowledging one's sins and resolving to fully obey God. Resolving to fully obey God. That's repentance. We believe that sin is the transgression of the law. We believe the Sunday Sabbath to be taught and kept holy in accordance with the biblical instruction. Yes, we believe. And a very important belief system that we are rather unique in identifying and obeying, and which we are commissioned to go ahead and let the world know, is that the annual holy days were ordained by God, kept by the ancient Israelites, and continued in the early New Testament Christians. These seven annual appointed feasts pictures God's plan for man. That's just a quick look at some of the teachings that makes us one, unique, a body. What we want to do is to hold on to the truth and nothing but the truth, that our faith be pure and strong, that we have confidence in what we believe. My brethren, let's just remind ourselves as to what Paul said to the Hebrews. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. I trust that the words of God today will help us all to hold fast to that profession, our confessions of faith, the things that we truly believe, and that no one will be able to influence us against our own conscience, and that we ourselves will be willing to suffer whatever comes because of our faith. Brethren, let us keep the faith.